Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call in the Buddhas and Butterflies context of Sumit's collapse response. We're working with transforming grief into its healthy role of dispersion. So I know that some of you might be listening to the recording after attempting to join me live this morning. I so apologize. My brain mixed up the 8 a.m., 9 a.m. start time as Saskatchewan doesn't change time zones, and in my day timer, I still had 9 a.m., but because of the time change, it's actually 8 a.m., which I knew, so I sent that on the email literally last night. So my brain didn't compute that after a 14-ish hour day, and I'm so very sorry. Not an excuse, just an explanation. Yesterday was a long day, and as much as I'd like to also, toss Mercury retrograde and the eclipse and all the astrological weather into my little mix-up there. I'm taking full accountability, so I apologize for that. Happens about every 8 years, I want to say, is my average. I've had it, this is my third time in 25 years where I've flubbed up a start time. So I so apologize. It's really unfortunate when that happens in a group setting. Yeah. Okay, my loves. So I'm going to invite us all to breathe and to make some space to land here for our time together today. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To drink in life. To receive. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. Let go to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to receive it, to drink it in mindfully. And as you do that, I'm going to actually also invite you to on purpose scan your environment, either out there or in here, if you wish, closing your eyes to do so. And as you scan outwardly or inwardly, taking time to let your senses land in anything in particular that's pleasant, even neutral. And as you take time to do that with all the senses, as they gaze, as they feel, as they smell, touch, taste, taking in all of the goodness of the thing that you've landed upon, and all the things about that you like the most, and appreciating it sensually, drinking it in, savoring it. And as you savor that all, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being you exactly as you are. And thank you to all that's got into this moment of sweet opportunity to connect. Thank you to your families. Thank you to your ancestors and your lineage. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these various lands that have nourished us all. And will continue to nourish those of us yet to arrive. Blessings on your journey for today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Okay. All right, we're starting off an area that's not super anatomically defined, so I'll do my best to describe it. But it lives just down from the left collarbone, maybe a half an inch or so, and it goes all the way through from front body to back body through the upper lobe of the lung region. And there's this sense of like railroad ties are hammered down with those really big stakes. It's working with one of those big, big stakes. And as we work with this, it's got the sense of being held down, feeling trapped. The lungs having to process grief. And there is actually the sense of this being grief itself that's being trapped, stuck down, held in. And if the grief itself could speak, it says something to this effect: you won't want me if I fill in the blank. You won't want me if I, in other words, misbehave, seem to appear in any way that's less than pleasing. So I better submit to whatever it is I think that you are asking of me. And the thing is most people aren't really clear on what they ever want in the first place. So when we submit in that way, we end up running ourselves in circles, because it's almost impossible to actually please another human being perfectly all the time. But there is something in your history that said that was the way to do it. There is something in your history that began in those first 6 months of life. Okay, and I'm seeing several different memories of times in which you were shushed unnecessarily. You were told to be quiet, it's okay, when it really wasn't. And essentially you were told to stifle or suppress your emotions, stifle or suppress your expression, stifle or suppress the very essence of you and how it is you communicate. Rather than being comforted, told to change. So I'm going to imagine that we can actually bring in your adult self to this area of your body. And we invite you to imagine that you can actually hold it and provide it comfort. And I'm going to offer my hands there too, imagining that they can reach through this device inside of your body, holding, offering comfort, offering support, offering connection that's not contingent or dependent upon you acting a certain way. In other words, taking out any conditional essences of love. And as the body mind begins to open up to experiencing what it is to be held in love without necessarily the background conditional beliefs, ideas, concepts, demands, requirements, however your body mind might perceive that, the right hip begins to actually open up. Begins to drop down in a way that lets the entire low back spaciously breathe. As the right hip curls back and down towards the ground, into the earth, it opens up the back body. I'm going to imagine that you can literally feel like a breathing ball inside of your back, lower back. On every inhale, this ball slightly expands to make room spaciously, easefully. Every exhale, that ball doesn't fully collapse. It actually holds a certain amount of shape, but it gets just a little bit smaller. So every inhale, there's expansion. And every exhale, your breath doesn't allow for that part of the body to fully collapse. It can actually hold its own as we circulate nerve supply to, from, within this whole area and reconfigure this. And as we do this for the low back, we're actually going to do the same thing for the upper lobe of the left lung, bringing in sufficient capacity for the inhale to expand, along with the exhale to not land in a full like collapse, but to have a sense where the muscles can hold their own tone. As we circulate again, nerve supply to from within this whole area. And as we begin to reconfigure that, and as you mindfully bring your breath to it, the more you do that, the more it'll continue to unroll and work its way through you and integrate all that's here for you. Unroll, unravel, whatever wording we want to use there. And as we do that, there's also this interesting thing that's happening as left shoulder, right hip, low back continue to open in this way. It actually reveals a deeper layer that's held just below the navel, in the hara. And there's this deep, 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 deep old contraction that goes beyond your lifetime. It actually goes back 8 generations through dad's side and the family lines. And there's a fear here of being sucker punched or blindsided, if you will, by things that bring in grief, by things that are correlative to the essence of loss. So a deep, deep, deep fear of loss and having to therefore feel the excuse me, the emotions of grief and all that goes with it, the anger, the denial, the depression, just to name a few. And a sense of having to deeply reconfigure yourself around all that's changed within that loss. And figuring out how to move on, how to move forward, how to. Lots to attempt to figure out there. And as we work with this from the Hara, releasing this again through the family lines, 8 generations through dad's side, wrapped in here is carrying the feeling that it's actually impossible. It's truly impossible to work with another human being that you're related to. And most of the time, even if you're not related to, there's this deep, deep sense of no matter what I do, working with another is going to land me in tremendous distress, pain, suffering. It's not going to work. Why bother trying? And it's carrying with it this sense of preemptive grief, as well as like a meaning that we grieve ahead of time. Like something hasn't even happened, but we're looking for reasons to orient ourselves towards grief. And underneath that, there's also a much deeper core, a kernel of feeling of deep, deep, deep again rejection. This is really old, very core. And that core of that depth of rejection, that little seedling of it all that began it all. Is hanging out on the right side in the iliopsoas muscle. If we could talk, it would say something to the effect of, you are not wanted here. You are not wanted here. And it goes back, 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 all the way through to the sense of dad after dad after dad after dad after dad being blindsided, got it, by their partner saying, guess what? We're having a baby. And there's this sense of loss around what that meant, all the things they'd have to give up, all the change that would transpire. And not necessarily even wanting children, having to reconfigure one's life around all of that is challenging. So helping to release that, to move through this pattern held within the paternal lines. As it creates this sense of rejection of, in particular, for some reason, the feminine. It's as if when it lands on the masculine, it's like, yeah, we kind of get that. That makes sense. We understand that. But the feminine is very hurt, very confused, and not understanding why this would ever be the case. Why aren't we excited to celebrate? Why aren't we excited to be here? And this whole story is playing out, not just out there in the family lines, generation after generation, but it's also playing out inside here, in your own masculine, in your own feminine. The Jungians would call it animus anima. So how to internally support your own masculine and feminine in getting on board. to support one another, to unite in ways that allow for more easeful transactions in your day-to-day life with other people. We're going to start by running a cellular repair to restore the cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing that for both the kidneys, left and right, masculine and feminine, along with the governing vessel meridian that runs up the midline of the back body, and the feminine, the conception vessel meridian that runs up the midline of the front body, and supporting healthy relationship, healthy union, healthy connection. As we run this cellular repair, we're also going to run a defrag on how it previously had been going and begin to reorganize in ways as we take out the clutter that no longer needs to be here and what remains can be readily utilized for healing. Then we're going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with cheer, vitality, consciousness, and awareness. Right down to all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help the nervous system and the immune system alike to heal, along with really most of our body minds. And also working with balancing yin, feminine, with yang, masculine, or nourishment and protection. And running hydration, helping the cells take in water, joy, release any impurities. And then we're releasing, it looks like this sort of jagged, almost like a comb. You know, like a rat's tail comb is what I've heard it called, like the long skinny handle with the prongs that come off of the top half of the comb. They only extend out at most an inch. It's like a bunch of them are broken off. And like that rat's tail comb shape is hanging out roughly in the midline. And it's containing grief around the masculine and the feminine being separated out in that way. So as we release it right from the middle of the midline of the body in between conception and governing vessel meridians, deep in the very core of you, to release this comb, it's coming straight up and out towards the crown, working with the consciousness of transcendence. And as it releases through governing vessel 21 acupuncture points, beginning to release the habitual need to keep the divide between the internal masculine and feminine, as well as the external masculine and feminine alike. There's a sense of if everything came together, that it would be pure chaos, that it would be pure, it would be rife with opportunities for conflict to happen. Let me put it that way. Pure hell was the wording as well that's here. And as we release this, coming out of the very crown of the head, I actually see the midline all the way through the spine, body, mind, from tailbone through to crown, begin to intertwine bit by bit, layer by layer, working its way up from the tailbone. And it does pretty good until it gets just below the heart, and there's a sense of I can't quite bring it together in here, in heart energy, in love, in harmony, as it requires a certain amount of surrender to let go to love. And as I say those words, I'm not talking about the human's ideas of love and what it means to love one another. I'm talking more of the love that is shared between you and the part of you that is creator, God, spirit, Buddha, Allah, universe. And I actually imagine that that part of you is deeply interwoven with every other part, it actually can't not be. But there's this seeming subtle separation between the two. And again, as we offer the opportunity for that divide to lessen, to learn what it is to be held deeply by love with ease, with sweetness, with grace, with tenderness. We're going to run pancreatic reflex points, which helps to take in the sweetness of the world, the sweetness of life, and to feel the embrace of the divine. And as we work with that, learning to remember what it is to rest at ease within ourselves. And as that happens, that divide begins to end as we keep working our way up the spine through the heart. As we get just above the heart, just around that thymus gland now, there's again a fear of being rejected. A fear specifically around not being able to measure up and not being able to cultivate what it is you need within yourself to get to wherever it is you think that you need to be. In other words, nothing will ever change would be the mantra here. So for this, we're actually going to run a Sidri. It's going to continue for the next 4 days. Starting with C, circulation of all those same healing resources. As we work with this pattern of collapse, of nothing ever changes. It's also going to, I'll say more about this to you in just a moment, it's also going to be releasing adhesions through this area. And I don't mean just around the thymus, but all the way through the entire horizontal plane, which is interesting. This is roughly that same horizontal plane where we began earlier with that area, with that train track tie all the way through the lungs. So as we run the rest of the Sidri, D for the defrag, same as the words as I mentioned earlier, taking out the clutter, what remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. And then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where you may have seen like there is none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. That's going to continue, as I mentioned, for the next 4 days. And alongside of that, we're going to run diaphragm, center of control and emotional processing, to intestines, which help us to release, to let go, to land. And we're linking this all through to house number 12, which is also a house of ending, surrendering, releasing, letting go. House of also allowing. And here we're running the permissions that I allow life to move through me. I allow life to move through me. I allow life to move through me. We're also releasing another train tie stuck at the very space between the sacrum and the coccyx. And there's all those seeming experiences where it said otherwise, where it wasn't okay to trust life, to allow it to move through you in a way where it felt like it was creating destruction. We're actually going to link that through to all five senses and bring in the satellite, the archetypal energy of Kali, which is thought to be the goddess of destruction. And she's often mislabeled and misunderstood, that she actually destroys in order to create, to bring to life something new. She's often feared because of this death, rebirth cycle. And the beauty of Kali is that she does it with neutrality. She's got no fear about this all. She doesn't do it out of vengeance. She doesn't do it out of emotionally laden places. She's actually doing it to offer a gift that's often misunderstood and, well, rejected. So I wonder what it might be like, if you're open to this as an idea, to breathe deeply into this tailbone region at the very top of it. And this is going to sound a little counterintuitive, but to literally welcome death on purpose with the words here that it's safe to die. It's actually really safe to die. And as the death happens, it actually creates space for renewal. And as that happens, it's releasing what feels like the last tendrils of the ending of our astrological year and entering into this season of Aries that we're well underway in. But we've just had the new moon here, so there's a sense of wanting to see new possibilities that weren't available before because of that old stuff that wasn't seemingly ready to die. However, it was, it just didn't seem like it was. It seemed like it was unsafe. It seemed like you should cling to that out of habit, out of pattern. So our world is often fraught with misunderstandings again about the gift of death and what it actually offers us in terms of being able to create. And as the cycle of death, birth, rebirth, and regeneration that comes from it begins to complete itself through this tailbone. I see it drop down, and we're going to balance the sphenoid to the tailbone in a way that actually allows that energy to rise from the spine, from the level of the thymus, right on up through to the third eye, as we root the tailbone to the earth, allowing for the sphenoid to rise to the heavens above, opening up this channel. And as we open up this central channel, the Sushumna, running again nerve supply to, from, within the space between tailbone and sphenoid, which is thought to be our journey out of the depths of hell, the misunderstandings, the challenges, the issues, to slowly rise up to the perception, the perspective of being able to take a new lens to life and to see it as an opportunity in which to actually create the heavens here and now while you're alive. So sphenoid to coccyx helps to open up to taking in heaven while here on earth in this way. As we do so, unhooking the pattern of wanting to defend versus to take accountability off of the C6, C7, T1 region of the back body, so the base of the neck and the very top of the ribcage area. And in that area, C7, right in the middle of it, is thought to be the most yang, most masculine point in the whole body-mind, which helps us to take action. But see, this is actually taking a little layer of energy off of, again, that area, C6, C7, T1, that's been getting in the way of you taking steps forward to take aligned action. And aligned action is not necessarily something that we need to intellectualize. It's actually just letting the body take action and to move towards whatever it is you're moving towards. And along the way, encountering whatever is encountered so you can work your way through that. This, in turn, as we navigate action in a mindful way, actually allows it to be aligned without you having to do anything specific about that. If I could say that all again, more simply, taking mindful action without having to overthink or overanalyze of, is this going to be in alignment with what it is I'm getting? With what it is I want to get? And then we're releasing a tremendous amount of grief around other people not being able to see you or to understand you. And having that land again as a sense of rejection. And again, that's coming off of the base of the thymus gland. Which allows for the area between base of throat and that sphenoid, roughly in the center of the skull. All the way up to that third eye region would be another way to say that. It allows that whole area to open up. And as I see that, I see the throat coming forward to actually welcome your expression. And not in that old defensive way where we're like, I'm just speaking my truth, which is a line that's really easy to toss out there, but actually in a way that lets you calmly state, be in your expression in a way that's calm but yet potent. In essence, what is this a calling? Calm energy that's also potent. Calm, potent energy all the way through this throat, through that expression. And we're linking it all the way through to the throat chakra. And I keep checking in on the potential journey between the brow and the crown. It feels like the last little bit that we haven't got to as we made our way up at the spine. And it keeps saying, not yet, not yet. So I'm just acknowledging that in part so I can focus on other things too. And also to let you know, I didn't not look at that or think about that, but it's not quite ready yet, not yet, not yet. And we're going to actually head down into now the left lower back. And with all the work that we did on the right iliopsoas earlier, there is this opening that happens through the left side as the feminine, on the left side of the body, right brain is what connects that. How it's actually opening up to trust the masculine on all the work that it did earlier to move through those layers of rejection on autopilot, to move through the layers of grief, to move through the layers of, oh my gosh, you're having a baby? That's a big change. I don't know if I'm ready for that. And as we release that, it opens up, now that the feminine understands that the masculine is capable of self-reflection, the feminine is like, okay, I can actually trust this man who is paying attention, is self-aware. I may not like what he's saying. I may not be happy with his conclusions, but I can trust that he's actually taking time to look and do the inner work. And then allowing the feminine, and again, this is all the internal stuff, and as we work it out internally, it has somehow a way of eventually, over time, showing up externally in my experience. And as we look at this balance of feminine and masculine now, the feminine begins to unwind the previously held tensions about not being able to count on, rely on the masculine. As it opens up all the way through the left iliopsoas. Releasing the management of having to make things better or having to be pleasing, of having to attempt to deal with one's own challenges with the masculine by entering toxic positivity and just like whitewashing all the negative things, not being willing to actually see the challenges, which is a natural, normal thing for the estrogen-laden brain to do, and also not necessarily the healthiest way of strategizing, cajoling, of attempting to make one's way in the world, as it within that carries a kernel of deceit or a lack of self-awareness. So it's as if the feminine was mad at the masculine for not being self-aware when the feminine herself was actually the one not so self-aware. And as we end the finger-pointing, the blame, ending the war between the masculine and feminine internally, I see both iliopsoas muscles actually unwind their adhesions and be able to communicate with each other now, not needing to have one attempt to prove their side, their rightness, their truth, and taking out the defensiveness involved in all of that, to just simply be with the information that's here. We're linking that into the feminine liver, and then the masculine stomach, to supportively allow for this digestion to wash its way through, and to metabolize the previous misunderstandings. And there is no shortage here. So to support this, we're bringing in two things. The solar plexus chakra, which works with digestion, governs the health of the liver and the stomach. And we're also working with the acupuncture point just below the xiphoid process, which is at the bottom of that sternum in the middle of your chest bone there. And we're also actually going to bring in three other acupuncture points, one a few inches below the navel, and two on either side of the navel at the very edge of your rectus abdominis muscle, about a couple inches out from the midline. As we work with this, it's actually supporting both digestion as well as relaxation, digestion and relaxation. And we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive here. Okay. Then we're working with the belief it's held in the throat region that you're asking too much. How dare you? You're asking too much. How dare you? And the energy of that is hooked into the backs of the shoulders and the back of the skull bones. I see it almost like little like bungee cables stretching out, holding it in place. Excuse me, but the bungee cables have gotten rigid. Like we've been doing this for a long time. Kind of checked out a little bit. Kind of played dead. Numbed out. It was just like, well, this doesn't seem to be changing, so we're just going to get a little bit rigid here. To invite you, if you're open to it, just bring in very small movements in through the neck and through the backs of the shoulders. As you move, we're going to run circulation of all the healing resources through here. And as we circulate all the healing resources, I'm also going to invite you to circulate your sound by making a little bit of sound. Voo or ah. And allowing for voo to begin to also move from the inside, that sound moving from the inside, and the external movements alike to come together to literally bring this area back to life again. And as we do that, reminding the muscles that allow for full expression of the heart, that allow for the heart to literally move forward and feel and connect through love and to sense love. Reminding them that they know how to do this, running natural consciousness and how to move towards love. Which also includes moving into places where your expression of you gets to be welcomed and loved, and releasing any confusion, any meaning that you made that said, I wasn't worth it, any meaning that you made around making yourself wrong, any meaning that you made that said, I don't have a voice that gets to be welcome here, from again your early experiences in life, going back to again those first 6 months. And being told time and time again, you're too loud. What are you crying for? There's nothing wrong. And in essence, feeling this tone of misunderstanding as well as being gaslit, being told there was nothing wrong when there was very much something wrong to have your expression ignored in that way. So again, I'm going to invite you as the adult to step in to comfort this soothing, crying infant in a way that doesn't shame them, in a way that doesn't create this stress, this strain on their nervous system. Being told that things are actually nothing, that there's actually nothing wrong when indeed that there is. So instead, validating, like, yeah, I see your pain, I see your challenge, I see all that you're suffering through. And continuing to welcome this newborn energy all the way up to 6 months of age, to welcome their very existence. And as you do so, encouraging them to take up space. That's just the natural consequence of this in a good way. And as you encourage the body mind to deeply open to take up spaciousness in this way, allowing it to exist but also fill in with things that are nourishing. If we imagine that we can actually breathe into the very bones of this very little one, of this 0 to 6 month old baby, breathing into their very bones, love. Lights, supports, and life force energy. And doing that in a way by role modeling it. So I invite you now to breathe into your bones and imagine with every inhale your bones expand, with every exhale they contract. And as we do so, connecting to the ancestral wisdom contained in your skeleton system. And we're linking that all through to house number 12, house of the liver, liver meridian, working with the consciousness here of individuation or landing in your true sense of self. which goes beyond even the family ancestral line and their ideas, wisdoms, challenges, confusions alike. And here running the permissions that you don't actually have to hang on to them for dear life anymore. You don't have to hang on to them, meaning your past conditioning that you received through them. You don't have to cling to that for dear life anymore. And we're tapping this out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Okay, love. We're heading into sixth house energy. The sixth house is the house of small intestine, works with awareness, intellect, discernment, helps us to take in nourishment and take practical action to align ourselves with those opportunities. And here we're running a body chemistry around toxins and the familiarity of old toxic patterns or old toxic conditioning and old toxic relationships through the family lines, where you learn to accept that that was actually the way this should be. Let's set the stage again for all the other relationships in the future to piggyback off of that same pattern. And in doing so, creating this cycle of seemingly never-ending depression and anxiety. I'm doing what you said to do and it's not working, but you're asking me to keep doing it, but it's not working. It's actually just getting worse. So here we're running a cellular repair. Again, through the family lines, going back a fair ways, 18 generations on mom's side, 16 down dad's. And doing it for the small intestine and its meridian, and helping it to reorient to taking in things that are nourishing. You know how we practice every single time, taking, locating, and taking in something that feels pleasant and neutral. It's as if there's been generations upon generations that didn't know how to do that. So as we do it every week, and maybe you do it every day, I don't know, it begins to turn the tide for all of those that came before, and for you to find a new way through here. For you to create a new pathway through. Being, becoming, entering into the essence of cycle breaking. And as we do that, connecting, interestingly enough, the right side of the diaphragm, the masculine diaphragm, the side of the diaphragm that maybe is a little bit more oriented to taking action, producing results, making things happen in a way that nourish. And balancing it to the left collarbone, clavicle. And just underneath that, the belt of fear around opening up one's heart. In order to receive, there's actually a deep fear of taking in that nourishment. We're just simply unwinding and releasing this pattern between right diaphragm and left collarbone region, including that belt of fear. And here, running the permissions, I open to receiving the forgiveness of others. I open to receiving the forgiveness of others. As we do that, linking in now the ischial tuberosity, the sits bone, the ischium of the left hip, left back pelvis, really. Linking that all the way through to the right sphenoid. I see it as allowing for the feminine groundedness to supportively allow for the masculine to open to perceive and take in new perspectives, to see new awarenesses, to see new, to see anew, to see what it was blind to before without this support. And as that happens, unwinding a little bit of a twist or a torque through that central channel, through that shishumna, that hasn't allowed for energy to move easily through this midline. It's created more pressure, it's created more trickles versus a steadfast stream. And it's produced unnecessary confusion, doubt, grief. Grief in the sense of just like ache, pain, hurts. As you release this collapsed pattern between left ischial tuberosity or sits bone, ischium, and right sphenoid, we're also running hydration for the entire line of energy between the two. As it happens, it unwinds a fair amount of energy through the left temporal region, bone, as well as lobe of brain, which opens up to hearing other people's perspectives and helps to move beyond the knee-jerk reaction of other people don't know what they're talking about. Other people don't take the time to understand me, so why should I understand them? Is also in here. We're going to run one more Sidri on those patterns held here. And as we do so, linking all things left temporal bone to the reciprocal, which is the right ilium, all the areas below that shelf on the right hip, all through the side of the right pelvis, in essence, bringing in the right side of the pelvis as it does, so bringing in stability, bringing in again another connection to grounding to the earth. And as that happens, it opens up a whole lot of space in the lower left back. And for good measure, we're actually going to run all 17 paired points of reciprocals, which help with alignment. And we might refer to this, as I mentioned earlier about aligned action, I called it mindful action. This would be a version of mindful action, as the reciprocals actually align your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual selves. And they turn the circuit breakers of you, your energy, back to full power. Breathing here, we're going to tap this part out. Receiving. As you breathe this in, just a little bit deeper now. Okay. Giving that a round of three slow deep breaths. Perhaps touching in on that point, or pardon me, that resource that you found at that point at the beginning of the session where we called that in. And I'm going to invite you to rest in this as we have a song for the next 3 minutes from the album Gathering One by Husa, pardon me, by Hamaza Lila. The song is called Huaza. Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Thank you again for all of your grace and your forgiveness around my messing up the time for today. And thank you for all of your concern. I really appreciate that. Mwah. Blessings on the rest of your week ahead, y'all. Bye for now. Have yourselves a beautiful day. And happy to stick around and chat with anybody who needs any additional support. I'm so glad you gave yourself permission to hear the music. That's awesome. Yes. Okay. Bye for now, y'all.